Let's please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28:16 as we continue in our study. And I want to say again, for those watching on YouTube, a lot of people watch on YouTube and they don't realize that our website, calvarypo.org, has a sermon archive section. And in the sermon archive section, you can link to the YouTubes at each one of these studies in Deuteronomy. So there's every book of the Bible that has audio files for everything, video files for a lot of it, that also have the Sunday services have the notes that were for the verses that we're going through and sometimes other notes at the website. And then there's a link to a video. If YouTube ever gets rid of us, then the link will be to Rumble. And so that if all of a sudden you can't find us on YouTube, you can just go to the website and get to our video link that way. So last week we saw that God promises the Jews blessings for obedience and curses and cursings for disobedience. And so we're in the cursing section, which is much longer, for almost five times longer than the blessing section. And that's because, as I said last week, God ramps up the judgment to try and get his people to realize, wow, look at the, God said these things were going to happen if we went after idols or did this, you know, sinful things, and it's happening, and you would think people would then turn around and repent and start walking with God. But we see it today. It doesn't happen because there's a powerful, strong delusion of the enemy that when people go off into the things of the world, they just keep on getting deeper and deeper and deeper. So the things that were going to happen to the Jews was 900 years later, Jerusalem gets destroyed and the Jews get scattered through the nations of the world. In fulfillment of the last curse is, and then if you didn't listen to any of this other stuff, the last curse is you'll be destroyed and you'll be scattered to the nations of the world. And so that's the end. You know, before that, there's famine, there's, you know, drought. There's, you know, people are going to steal your children. They're going to steal your crops. That's what we're going to go through today. And then finally, you're scattered. So if we were to apply this to us, because, you know, this was written to the Jews, but it applies to us. And what's happening in the world today is all the nations are going to be destroyed and taken over by a 10-nation global empire of the Antichrist. That's going to be the judgment of the last days, which is going to be the whole world is going to get judged. And that's where we're headed because people have rejected God. So for us, it's 3,500 years later, this is applying to us. It's not written to us, but it's applying to us. Even though we're not the promised people, if we do the same thing the Jews did or the Canaanites did, then we're going to see destruction come to our country. Cursed you shall be in the city. Cursed you shall be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. We ended with that part last week where I said children will be a curse. They won't be able to have children. They'll die, etc. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock. Why? Because of sin. I'm going to emphasize through this, because of sin, all of a sudden, children are a curse. Crops and herds will be destroyed. And, you know, camping on this part of the produce of your land and the increase of your cattle and offspring of your flocks, the inability to grow crops. There's a new alternate news site that was saying, better go get your canned tomatoes now. And why? Because California is having the greatest drought that they've had in decades and decades. And they're now realizing the tomato crop is trashed. And most of the tomatoes that we get in this country are from the California growing area. And I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's what the news article is saying. And so if all of a sudden we can't go get tomatoes, canned tomatoes, or tomatoes make our pizzas cost $100 a piece or whatever, then just this is what we as Christians think. Sin has brought this on us. That this is sin that has brought this on us. Even if somebody's manipulating the weather, even if somebody is purposely creating shortages, like in infant formulas and stuff, that seems to have been a created problem. it's sin that's brought it on us, even if it's people that are wicked and evil that bring it to us, it's still because God is allowing it because of the sins of the people. And how about the herds? I read an article last week. This is October 22nd, Ethan Huff of Natural News. In Australia, the government is making the cattle, some of the cattle growers, to inject their cows with COVID vaccine. And then the article was like, dairy farmers reportedly now being forced to inject their animals with the experimental COVID show in order to remain in business. You know, you need to inject this. I don't want to. My cow did not tell me it has COVID. Well, you have to do this or we're going to take away whatever they do in Australia about letting you be a cow owner. And then the question is it safe to consume mRNA tainted milk and cheese from a fully vaccinated dairy cow? I don't know. I don't want to know. I want cows that give regular milk. We like, how many times are we having to go organic because we find out that they're giving all kinds of stuff to cows and animals and plants that are going to poison us and we want to go organic? I used to break out in just severe hives and couldn't figure out why. I didn't eat anything different or anything else. And then I found out, long story short, it was because I got milk on the carton that had come from a cow who had penicillin given to it. And I'm really allergic to penicillin. And they're supposed to test for it. And the pharmacist, when I finally figured it out, the pharmacist, I said, man, I know they test for it. I know dairy cow people, farmers, ranchers, whatever. And they said, no, we have to test. We have to pour the milk out until so many days after we give them a shot of penicillin. And the pharmacists go, you have a better test than they do. You know, your test is better than the FDA. Well, imagine. So I stopped. I used to drink milk like it was water. And I stopped. I've never gotten hives again. And I try and drink organic. But imagine what mRNA does. And you know what happened? Believe it or not, cattle are reportedly now getting jabbed with the stuff, which in a recent mass vaccination campaign of an Australian herd resulted in 35 of the 200 animals dying immediately. So we're really growing up in a time where when we're pulling stuff off the shelf, and there was a proposed initiative of the people to make the government tell us what's GMO, genetically modified foods and other things, and it was shot down. The industry of genetically they're messing with God's creation where God said it was good, and they're messing with apples and genetically modifying all these things and injecting things that we eat. And if my hope was in this world, I'd be just bothered. And I still might get sick. My body could get sick from what I eat and drink. I could die because of what I eat and drink, because somebody shoots somebody up with some, you know, one of the animals or the plants are being modified or whatever. But you know what? Okay, Jesus, you can either miraculously protect me or you can send me to be with you, and that's where I'm going to be forever. So that's what our attitude. We can't be all freaked out and scared. We just have to realize this judgment's coming upon this world. These people are playing with God's creation in a way to create Frankensteins that they have no idea what's coming out of the lab as far as what it's going to affect people. And maybe even knowing what, you know, the jab is going to do to people and to cows, and they don't care. So, aren't you glad you have a hope? Cursed, verse 19, cursed you shall be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out because of sin. When you go out to work, do you feel like you're just blessed like it used to be? You know, go out, you know, people are going to work today and they're witnessing to a friend that they've worked with for 20 years that's living in the lesbian lifestyle, who has confessed that they are at times really, really bothered by the decision that they've made in their life, but decides to turn the person in, and so then he loses his job, loses a job that he had for 20 some years. Just happened recently. You know, you realize we're going into a world now that's so woke and so crazy that just communicating in a supposedly free speech place, country, that you lose the blessings of a freedom that God gave us in this country to be able to talk and reason with people. And all of a sudden, because you tell somebody the truth, witness to them, you know, hey, you can't turn away. You've asked, you wanted to talk about it. Here's a track. Here's something you could turn away. oh no, turn you in, boom, and you become the problem. It's cursed you'll be when you go out. Cursed you'll be when you come home. Listen to the news. Another one, Matt Walsh. You know what he's trying to educate America with? He's trying to educate America with what a woman is. How many of you know what a woman is? Well, everybody that raised your hand, you're smarter than the most recent Supreme Court justice. Because we've become so cursed that people are not even able to answer the question, what is a woman? So Matt Walsh takes his documentary on what is a woman, and he wants to play it at Madison, University of Madison, Wisconsin. And there's just, people are just protesting, and they hate the fact he's coming. They tried to keep him from being able to come. And so while he's protesting, there's a Christian that's got his Bible out, the crowd that's going nuts, and he's just reading the Bible, and you can't tell what he's reading because he's just being accosted verbally. They take his Bible, rip it apart, and one of them eats it. Eats one of the pages of the Bible, which, you know, somebody should have warned him. You probably don't want to do that. He might have taken a cursed you shall be, and he eats it. Yeah, you might want to be careful. You're eating the judgment of God. And imagine the children, imagine the Christian children or even regular people that aren't totally out of their minds yet going to a university where it's becoming an issue over what, by the way, a woman is a biological adult female human. And that is not able to be spoken in the colleges of America today. And anybody that would say that would probably, unless they're tenured, and even then they'd be dressed down, would probably be fired. Now, is that a curse in our country today? And so we're almost so cursed that going to college becomes something that is almost sacrificing your children to Baal to send them there unless they are totally squared away. It's almost like time to just forget it. Forget a college degree. You got a biblical degree, and that degree has your living in service to Jesus, and you're going to die and go to heaven, and they need excavators and, you know, people that can drive excavators and do everything else anyway. And who cares about wasting all that money in a college when this is what's happening in our country? We're being cursed you shall be when you come in, cursed you shall be when you go out, unless you have Jesus with you. You can just sit there and go, you told us it would be like this. This isn't my world. I'm just passing through. The Lord, verse 20, the Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Now, in your notes, I have a title that's different than this. I decided to change it to, You Have Forsaken Me. You youngins can't appreciate just what it used to be like. And the crazy thing is that in the really better day of America, I was one of the wicked people. I was one of the wicked people making it bad, you know, and but by the grace of God, there were people that were witnessing to me and, you know, and just over and over again. And finally I go, what am I doing being wicked and forsaking the God who created me and repented and that changed my life? But now I'm watching the rest of the country just go down and just fewer and fewer people are coming to Jesus. Fewer and fewer people even want to hear about Jesus. Fewer and fewer people even care. And Jesus said it would be like that in the last of the last day. Because of sin, we've forsaken God. Again, as I mentioned last week, $10 billion are spent this weekend for, you know, getting ready for, and tomorrow for the Halloween. Tomorrow. And everybody's all in, media's on it, schools are in it, everything else is in it. And then you say, well, what, we want to bring Christmas to the school system. Oh, you can't do that. The reason for Christmas. Oh, we can't bring Jesus here, separation of church and state, but we can worship Satan in school. And the demons and everything else that are going on. And that is a sign of just how far we've fallen as well. And the other thing is, what did, when things are falling apart, confusion falling apart, when Rome was falling apart, what the elites of the day did, realizing these slaves could, you know, come against us as things are collapsing. And what do we do? What did they decide to do to keep the people in asleep so that they wouldn't bother about their standard of living and everything going down? Just give them
bread and circus.
Bread and circus. Just, we're going to do the Colosseum. Give them something to enjoy in the Colosseum. And as long as we have bread so that they're not hungry, we control them and they're enslaved. And I'm realizing what's really left of old America is the entertainment in all the different ways, the circus of sports and, you know, World Series and basketball and this. And I want to say that while we're all anesthetized by that, the globalists are truly, under the inspiration of Satan, getting ready to pull the plug on the whole thing. And we're going to wake up someday and it's all going to be over. And I am, you know, even I've liked sports, and what I've done in the Holy Spirit has changed me from a screaming, jumping up and down Broncos fan to a screaming up and down Seahawks fan. And but then he discipled me more than maybe some of you. And I went to just enjoying the incredible athleticism that God allows the human body to do. By just watching it, I'd just praise for whether the other team or our team, just rejoicing in God. And then as God's saying, okay, Kevin, I'm going to take you now I want to get you here. And you know what? The enemy kind of helps by having for the first time the Carolina Panthers have a transvestite cheerleader. And you know what? That's really helped me. That's really helped me further. I'm no longer, you know, I used to record the games. And then watch them later, fast-forwarding through the useless commercials. And now it's like, God, I want to do something more important. I want to do stuff to your glory. Now, everybody, you know, I don't know where you are. That's been my path over the decades. But wherever you're at, but realize it's food and games. They're messing with us. They're deceiving us. And it's because we like it. But what's happening is this whole system is just... it's just entertainment to deceive us away from what's important. And just let that sink in and rejoice in Jesus. It's not something you do. Oh, well, Kevin says we shouldn't watch football. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't watch a World Series or anything else. But just put it all in perspective. It's all going to pass away. And it's all going to be gone. But Jesus is going to be forever. And just rejoice in that. Yeah, we're confused. This place is so confused. The transvestite goes up to a volleyball, a guy, says, I want to be on your women's volleyball team at a college. And then he spikes with manly power and knocks out and puts into the hospital a lady on the other side a couple weeks ago. You have another guy, I want to be on the women's swim team. I'm a woman. I want to be on the women's swim team. I'm confused. You can't say that I'm a guy because I say I'm a woman. And that happens. And I'm saying this to let it just sink in how crazy we have become. And you can't say anything against it. And how, as we're going through this, these bring judgments upon us. And so what's our mission? We always tell the truth. We had a transvestite came to our church. We loved on him. He wanted to be Stephanie, but he was Steve. You can come here if you use the men's bathroom, and we're going to call you Steve. And he came, and he came up to me, and he goes, I want to talk some more. And another guy and I talked to him, and I said, look, this is you are being deceived. This is the path that you're being deceived into the world to do. This path, according to the Word of God, which he had some biblical education, his mom was even a Christian, that this is the path you're on, and it ends in hell. You don't want to go there. He repented, and he's getting ready to get married now, I heard. Repented to a woman, I want to say. A biological woman. Not a confused woman, a woman. And so he repented. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking, he could turn me in. The state of California, he could have turned me in California, and he could sue me. And I thought, well, maybe that will happen. Maybe he'll try and do it, even though we don't have the law here. I don't care. We've got to tell these people the truth. Because they're being deceived. We could have been a real progressive church. We get phone calls sometimes. Are you guys inclusive? We could have said, oh, Stephanie, come on in. Put you on the front row. We're woke. We're great. We bring them all in. We're just, everything's good. And then that soul would have not been able to repent, get right with God. Because what's really going to happen is that soul would have died and gone to hell in rejection of God. But he wanted to get right with God. He confessed, repented, said he wants to change and go back. And the world would hate us for doing that. Wants to sue us, shut down a church. But if we keep telling the truth, then we don't have to make apologies to God. The Lord will make the plague, diseases, verse 21, cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with a sword, meaning people coming and just killing you, with scorching, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. A lot of the symptoms here and in other verses that follow are associated with sexual immorality. And back then, God could just create, you know, the sexual immorality diseases, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, et cetera, they've all been around since the fall of man. It's what God warned him about back then. He told the Jews, when you leave Egypt, you don't do what they do, and you won't suffer the diseases of the Egyptians. And if you are heterosexual, monogamous, virgins, virgins at marriage, heterosexual monogamous until death you depart, you do not have to worry about any of these diseases. But if you go into the ways of the world, you can end up with a disease that kills you. You could end up with a disease that maims you for the rest of your life. You can end up with a disease that gives your children the disease when they're born. Children are now being born with syphilis. And I remember when antibiotics came out, I was in the early days of antibiotics, and it was being advertised. The kids would talk about it. We don't have to worry about anything because we now have penicillin. And putting their trust in penicillin to get rid of all. Well, here we are 50 years later, and look at what's going on. People are horribly maimed for life. There's gonorrheas that they can never be healed from, etc. And God said right here, you do this stuff and you will have diseases. Man said, oh no, because we found antibiotics. And God says, oh really? His word comes true. And again, if there's somebody here that's already had that experience, then I hope you've just fallen at the feet of Jesus. God, forgive me. There's consequences for my sin, but I worship you and praise you. And God, you're just going to have to help me live the rest of my short life, with the consequences of sin, because I'm going to go to eternity to be with you. And we just got to have that attitude. Or the diseases can come because man makes the diseases. Some of you probably heard that Boston University did gain of function, or they were accused of doing gain of function on the coronavirus. They took the original coronavirus and the Omicron variant, and they said, wow, we got 80% of the mice to die. And then they got accused, but see, it's against international law to do gain of function. So you know what they said? Oh, no, we didn't do gain of function. Actually, we're just playing around with the genetics of viruses, trying to create, worse ones, or not can't create worse ones, but whatever we're doing, we're playing around with this NIH money. And really, the original COVID killed 100% of the mice, so we didn't gain a function. That was their excuse. And Richard Enbright, professor of Rutgers University, said, you're lying, and that BU needs to retract its demonstrably false press statement and to replace it with a truthful, comprehensive description of how this failure of judgment and process occurred, and what steps have been taken to prevent similar failures of judgment and process in the future of gain-of-function research. So here again, look. Now, I'm going to say there's a chance. YouTube would say nobody ever did anything releasing it from a lab. But there are people who say that that's what happened. They're playing around with genetics of viruses, and they gave us COVID. That's what people say. And so now we have Boston University, this is national news, playing around. And let's say one of these Frankenstein scientists gives something that really is worse. And you know what the Bible says? There will be plagues. And then that's what Revelation says. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. There will be plagues. In fact, when Steve Hawkins and I were getting ready to go to Sudan, we had to get all shot up with, I'll never get shot up with anything again from the, but we had to get, I had to get yellow fever and stuff. And COVID was just starting to make the news. And I asked the lady that had been overseas and all over the place, and I said, what's your take on this? And she goes, there will be plagues. She quoted Jesus. There will be plagues. And according to the Bible, we've seen probably nothing yet because people are still playing around and they want to get rid of us. See, they're not trying to figure out how to keep us alive. They're trying to figure out how to get rid of us. So, verse 23, and your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth, which is under your feet, shall be iron, under you, shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust from the heaven. It shall come down on you until you are destroyed. Why? Because of sin. Because of turning away from God. Drought. God caused drought. 1 Kings, Elijah the Tishbite, 1 Kings 17:1. Of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word 3 years. No rain for 3 years. And there was a famine. And you can read about it in Kings. And there's a whole story there. Why? Because Ahab is this wicked, wicked king with wicked Jezebel, slaughtered the prophets of God, and God finally said, enough's enough. Slaughtered the prophets of God. Again, if we really do become the curse of the world to the point where they want to start killing us, it's happened over and over and over and over again in history. And it's going to be okay with us because we're going to serve Jesus, and God has allowed this to happen. And he's so long-suffering and merciful to people, the wicked, to give them a chance to repent. And so God did it then. Some people say it's human-caused climate change that's happening. Of course, YouTube again would say that that's not possible, even though there's patents for it. The Chinese admit that they used weather modification during their Olympics and everything else, but they would never be used by Americans. And those checkerboards you see in the sky is just, pilots playing around with smoke to just play tic-tac-toe and et cetera, et cetera. You ever watch a totally blue sky? All of a sudden these planes are going, and it's not contrails, because contrails, they only last for a little while because it's moisture and then it just goes away. But these, they just get patterned and then they just grow into this big white thing. Yeah, it's just coincidence. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Are there a lot of nations that just go, man, I wish America would go away? That the country of Israel that was supposed to be a light on a shining light on a hill became troublesome to the other nations because of their wickedness. And look at Vietnam, Afghanistan, Libya, Iraq, many others that we just, ever since World War II, the last war we actually just won. And now it's like you go in, you spend trillions of dollars, tens of thousands of lives, and all for just destruction to the point where the rest of the world is going, what's with you people? The Bible prophesies that. You get wicked, then you go into war, and you lose. You keep on being defeated. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. Why is nobody going to frighten them away? Because they're all dead. Or because to go out there and try and, bury your body will just make you seen by the Moabites, the Ammonites, the other people that are coming, Syrians and Assyrians and Babylonians are going to come and get you. Let's turn to Jeremiah 27:29. 900 years, we're going 900 years after Moses. And God has raised up the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is the last prophet warning the tribe of Judah, you've got to stop it. You've got to stop worshiping idols. and your sin and rebellion and departing from God. Because if you don't, God is sending the Babylonians, and they will destroy this place. They will wipe you, the king. They will wipe you out. They will destroy this city. They will destroy this temple. If you go to the later chapters of Jeremiah, the king actually says, tell me one more time what God says. And God says, if you defect to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, if you say, you know what, we've departed from God, the reason you're here, Nebuchadnezzar, outside the gate, is because we've sinned against our Almighty God, and you're our judgment. And the rest of the people in this city are now yours. We're not going to fight you anymore. We're going to open up the gates, and you now own us. And Jeremiah says, king, if you do that, then this city will not be destroyed. And the king says, but if I do that and I get hauled away to Babylon, then the people that are already in Babylon that defected, that I tried to kill and hunt down because they were traitors, they're going to get upset with me. And so he doesn't do it, and his children get killed. He gets his eyes put out, and Jerusalem gets destroyed because of worrying about what people are going to do. But earlier on, Jeremiah was told to say this, cut off your hair, Jeremiah, cut your hair, cast it away, take up a lamentation cry. Cry in the midst of your nation, warning them of the desolation that's coming. Take up a lamentation on the desolate heights. For the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations, idols, that's what it means, idols, their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. They put idols in the temple. Are there idols in the churches today? There's sexual, you know, behind the idols or sexual immorality and everything. Is there every kind of perversion that is now being allowed in, quote, churches in the world today? And they have built the high places, idol-worshipping sexual immorality places at Tophet, which is right outside Jerusalem, getting outside the Temple Mount. They're in the Kidron Valley, south of Jerusalem, of Tophet, which is the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, abortion, post-birth abortion, which California is getting ready to pass a bill that they can kill a child up to 28 days after birth. So if we can't get them in the womb, you know, the parents have 28 days to decide whether or not their child, they're trying to get that through. Burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no longer be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. And this is Jeremiah quoting really what Deuteronomy said 900 years earlier. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of myrrh, which is, hey, let's party. Let's go and, you know, have some fun and joke it up. Voice of mirth, or the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Fulfilled. A few years later, you know, Jeremiah prophesied for 40-some years. And then, that's exactly what happened. Jerusalem absolutely destroyed. The people just left out in the open to rot. And that's what Deuteronomy was saying, going back to Deuteronomy 28, 27, 26, where you're reading it again. Your carcasses shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. Do you realize that if we, again, this was written to the Jews, but it applies to us. Do you think the day could come where in America there could be such civil war or wars against other peer powers or whatever, where literally this would be fulfilled? That there are people that are dying everywhere, even by the jabs or this or that, or all of a sudden there's some plague that comes and it's just so massive that there's nobody, you look over and you go, there's no way to bury all these people, and I'm about to die too. And they just sit there and they become food for the birds. It'll happen, if and when it happens, it's because of sin and rebellion against the Creator. And when we kick him out, we depart from God, we get Satan. What does Satan do? He kills. Verse 27, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. And you shall not prosper in your way. And you shall be only oppressed and plundered continually. And no one shall save you. Various different sexually transmitted disease symptoms, including syphilis, which blinds you. You know, untreated syphilis, which was the case in history, blinds you because of sin and departure from God. Deuteronomy 28:30, you shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. Kidnapping of your children, kidnapping your wife, adultery with your wife. A friend of mine this last week, he just got back from Vallejo, California, where I got saved. And I got saved when it was Merrill Island Naval Shipyard. I was going to nuclear power school there. Merrill Island Naval Shipyard was shut down. They shut it down. And it lost its entire, imagine Bremerton Shipyard being shut down. And all that monetary base going away. Well, the city of Vallejo went bankrupt. And they defunded the police. And it became an extremely dangerous place to be. It still is to this day. But he had a relative that had passed away, and he prepared the house to sell. So he drove down there, prepared the house to sell. There was already vandalism, so he put a security system in that goes to his phone. And so he got it all done, turned it over to the realtor, who was then to sell the house. He drives home, a straight shot, drives home, about 13 hours, and the alarm rings. And he checks, there's this lady that, you know, that's in the house, broke a window, got into the house, gets back in his car, drives back down. They also tried to trash the door. The for sale sign, they had taped on a sign that says taken. So they broke into the house and made it taken. And so then she and the other people that were breaking in were not there at that time. So he went down there and he's defending the house, stays there to defend the house until it can sell. And then that's what brought him just back up here, is because he had to keep it so it would sell. Because the homeless population is so crazy, for everybody in the homeless community in Vallejo is like, oh, there's a for sale sign, that means taken. By us, they just move in, trash the place, whatever else they want to do. Build a house, somebody else lives in it. And you know, this is not uncommon. This happens in this area, or all of a sudden people find out that somebody's, you know, you have a summer house or whatever, and people move in, and then you can't get them out. You're not even, you can't legally ask them to leave or get the police to do so. One of the curses, which is what is being fulfilled today. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. Now think about it. Let's apply this, because many of you were thinking, and rightfully so, that food prices were going way up. And scarcities were starting to be seen, and so you planted your garden. But you know what? Your neighbors are watching you plant your garden. And in Israel, the Moabites were watching you, and the Midianites were watching you plant your fields, and they wait until it's all harvested, and then they come and take it. And that's the kind of situation that we're going to be when it gets bad in this country as well. You'll grow, you'll plant, you'll tend those grapes, and they might even let you crush them out and put them into the wine vat. And then they'll come and take it away. And so you do all that work for nothing. That's the way the Muslims would attack South Sudan. They'd let them do all the crops. Then they'd come through, take all the grain. And why? To leave everybody else to starve. To leave them to starve. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you. Now, you have to write into your Bibles, your car, SUV, truck. shall be violently taken away from you. That would never happen, right? No carjackings or anything like that happened today. And shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. Invading armies come and just say, we're taking all your stuff. We're taking something, you know, something that you use for livelihood, something that is yours to get around. Your donkey is to get around, to travel. Your car is to get around and travel, and somebody just steals it. When we were getting ready to pour, do the asphalt out here, we're working at the culvert at the end of the road. And across the street over there, there's a house being worked on to be turned into a rental. And the guy was there, and he had his bobcat. And we really wanted to hire his bobcat to help us with the dig. You know, something that would take us 2-3 hours, he knew it would just be a couple minutes. And so, oh, yeah, I'll come over and do that. And we got to meet him and everything. And, you know, I had some neighborly friendship and stuff. And he goes, yeah, I'm working on this house. But, you know, back in March, my excavator walked. Yeah, an excavator out there for doing excavating, and it was gone. It just, somebody stole an excavator right across the street. And then Dustin Nelson, he said, man, the insurance took care of it. And he goes, no, that's when I found out how uninsured I am. Underinsured I am. Because people are stealing excavators because you can't get excavators because of the whole COVID thing and the manufacturing that went down. And so people are just desperate and they go look at stuff that's yours and they take it as theirs. Is there a law against that? What is that called? Thou shalt not covet. You know, we took that off of the schoolroom walls so people don't care now. If I can get away with it, it's okay. We're cursed. Why? Because we've departed from God. And if you haven't been touched yet with having something walk, something stolen, as we progress, it's going to be amazing that you don't have something stolen. It's a blessing from God that you don't have something stolen. Ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes. Many, many ranchers are being told, you got to cull your herd. You got to get rid of your chickens. Because they are trying to get rid of cows. You know they're trying to get rid of cows, right? You've heard about this. Why? Because cows, they produce methane, to use the scientific term. They produce methane, they eat, and they produce methane, and they are literally using this false science associated with how this whole global warming thing to cull the herds because they want us to stop being able to be healthy with food, with meat. To the point where the Jews have invented, and Bill Gates is working on it too, to make fake burger. Have you heard about this? And in fact, when I went to go visit my grandson in Eastern Washington, Moses Lake, I went to the Safeway, and I was just talking to the guy because the prices were just going crazy and there were some shortages. And he goes, yeah, it's bad. And you know what? We're being told to just push and push and push that fake meat over there. We're stocking that up and we're being told to just push this fake meat. And then I went on to an Israeli news site. If you do making 3D printed meat, you can do that today on your search. You'll get an Israeli guy who has tried to perfect mixing these different ingredients, just vegetable stuff, not a cow, to supposedly make it look like and taste like a steak. And he said at the end, he goes, we hope to be the largest meat producer in the world. Meat producer in the world. To get rid of cows. To get rid of them passing gas. To kill mommy earth, the planet. And to starve the people. To starve them. To make it so you won't be able to get a steak anymore. A real steak. Why? Because of sin and rebellion against God. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand. I can't even imagine what a blessing it's been that when the whole time raising our two boys, I really didn't think that someday they're not going to be sitting at the table with me. I didn't think that was going to be possible. And I warned him because it was the beginning signs of somebody that would, you know, and I told him what to do if somebody opens the door, says, come in and stuff like that. And I told him whatever. I even told him, I said, just open the glove box, find a pencil and stuff and start whatever it takes. Don't be thinking they'll kill me. They're going to kill you anyway. But I didn't really think that it would happen. But it was constantly happening in the days of Israel. Things, all of a sudden, your child is not there. You don't know what happened to them. And then you're sitting there every night, you're sitting there and the seat is empty. Can you imagine the heartache that that would be? And it's a curse that comes upon a country that's departed from God. It's a curse that will come to this country if we don't repent. And we need to tell the people, you need to repent. This stuff is happening because of the word of God and you need to repent. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. Let's turn to Judges chapter 6, verse 11. This is about 100 years or thereabouts after Deuteronomy. Don't know the exact timing of some of the events in the book of Judges. You remember the story about Gideon, right? So Gideon's a Jew, and he's living in the land of Israel. But the Midianites, the Arabians, they are oppressing Israel. And what they're doing is exactly what I just said. They let the Jews plant their crops. They come with their camels or whatever they came in at harvest time. And they just take it all from the Jews. Kill anybody that tries to stop them, hauls off the food, leaves the Jews to starve. And that's what's happening. And Gideon is his dad. He's a mover shaker within the town, and he has an idol to Baal in the front yard. He's an idol worshiping, Baal worshiping dad, Jew. And Gideon is now being met by an angel of God in Judges chapter 6 verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, a town in Israel to this day, which belonged to Joash, the Abrazite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now, where do you normally thresh wheat? For those that are biblical scholars, on a high hill. Why? Because you've harvested the grain, and so, but the wheat is surrounded by chaff. And so you gotta crush the wheat and the chaff together. And then you just have a pile of junk, you know, chaff, and you have the wheat. And the way you thresh it then is you throw it up in the air. So you want to be on a hill where wind can come and take it, take the chaff away. And so as you're throwing it up, it gets more and more just seed at your feet. And then you just gather up the seed and you take it and you put it wherever you're storing your grain. But you can, if you're on a high hill and you're doing this, the Midianites have their binoculars out. Maybe not. And they're just looking for anybody that's threshing wheat. Oh, we missed your family. We missed your crop. Oh, you still kept some back from us. Oh, here, we're taking the rest of it. And so he's doing it in a wine press. It's down in the ground. So it's going to be much more laborious because now instead of them seeing you up there, they're just seeing wheat come out if they've got really good eyes. And, you know, he's probably looking around. Okay, I don't see anybody. Flip it up. Get the wind to blow outside of the wine press to get food. So, in order to hide it from the Midianites, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt, from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, what's wrong with that story? Whining. And what's the problem? Now the Lord has forsaken us. What really happened? No, you forsook me. Now, people want to blame God for, you know, I'm going to go serve the devil, serve the world. I want to believe in a God because look how messed up my life is. If there's really a God, he wouldn't let my life be so messed up like this. Oh, really? You know, that's all the same. You know, well, he's not, he doesn't exist, you know, whatever. No, we departed from God. the Jews departed from God. And exactly what Moses had warned them through, you know, God warned them through Moses just shortly after, 100 whatever years earlier, they have completely forgotten. They're worshiping Baal. His dad is worshiping Baal. And now the curse has come that Moses warned of. But now the Lord has forsaken us, delivered into the hands of Midianites. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And here's the deal. God is merciful. He could have just let all the Jews die for worshiping Satan and, you know, worshiping Baal, which is demons behind it, and everything else. He could have, but he's made promises to the Jews. They have to stick around. And when they cry out and they go, God, we are starving to death. We have nothing. Then he sends Gideon and says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you miraculously. And Gideon doesn't believe it, puts a fleece out before the Lord. The Lord's merciful to Gideon. And then God says, okay, number one item is go tear down the temple to Baal. Tear down the idol of Baal in your dad's front yard. Can I do it at night? And so read the rest of the story. And God miraculously intervenes to give them a reprieve. And then he has a bunch of children through a bunch of women, and then the next guy comes along and kills them all. So it's just, history is just unbelievable in rebellion against God. And then going back to 2033, we're going to wrap it up here with Job. Pretty soon, a nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. Unless what? Unless your eyes see beyond the consequences of the sins of this world, the sins of our country, you'll go mad with what's coming to America. I mean, there are so many things. This war in Ukraine. I mean, the food shortages. Not only are we going to have the rail strike, maybe, but they're saying they're going to run out of diesel here in a month. And just think about that. That Safeway QFC, they didn't get all that stuff because somebody put it in the back of their gas cars. Things are going to happen because of our rebellion against God, that are going to make people mad. They're going to go insane. They're going to go crazy for their little American world falling apart. And we live here as aliens, and God is going to keep us sane if we keep our eyes on Him. That's the only way, is to keep our eyes on Him. And the Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Why? Because Satan is going to be unleashed to create all kinds of diseases and boils. Let's turn to Job 2:6, and we'll close with this. How do we know? You know, Satan can create diseases. So if we turn away from a God who created us, and we turn to evolutionary mindset where people think they're helping out evolutionary survival of the fittest by creating stuff in the labs and all this other stuff, creating diseases and boils and whatever else is going to happen. It's all demonic. We can say people, but behind the people, there's demonic lies and powers that are at work. And how can we know that Satan can do it? Well, first of all, in the New Testament, several times Jesus heals people because a demon was inside of him, made him mute, did other things, and God would cast the demon out and they'd be healed. So not every mute or somebody has epilepsy or something has demon behind it, but it can be. And the Lord said to Satan, 2:6, when Satan is up in the presence of God, behold, he, Job, is in your hand. Because Satan told God, the only reason that Job really loves you, follows you, has a fear of you, is because you protected him. You've just put a hedge around him. You just take that protection away, he'll curse you. And then God says, okay, he's in your hand, but you can't kill him. You can do anything else but kill him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd, which is a piece of broken pottery, with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes, which people would put themselves in ashes because they're under such grief of physical ailment. Then his wife said to him, Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. See, the test was, they only worship you because they have freedom in America. You know, the church only worships you because they live in a free and prosperous country. Oh yeah? Take it away, see what happens. Now Job could have said, he could have blamed God. He goes, well, you know, I served you, I sacrificed for my children, I have never disobeyed anything, and why do I get this? But he says, no, I'm not going to curse God. How can we curse God? How can we blame God? How can we get mad at God? You're speaking like a foolish person. Should we take the blessings of God? And we have been given blessings by God in this country. Beyond historical precedent. We have been so blessed in this country. Shall we take that and not take the consequences of this that comes as long as God keeps us here? We're not going to curse God. Things are going to change, based on the word of God, not because, you know, God's saying America's going to go down in this year or that year. But we're repeating history. And it's going to go down. We're not going to curse God because we don't want to be foolish. And we know that he's preserved a place for us, as it says in your bulletin. I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you can be also. That's where we're going. And he's going to rule us, and it's going to be under his law forever and ever and ever. Unless people reject him because they hate him. They hate his law. And they get to go be with the great hater of God, the great rebel of God, Satan. They get to be with him. And it's a place called hell. And we just warn them, you don't really want to go there. But if they want to, God's loving and he'll let them. So that's our mission. You know, I know this is a discouraging part of scripture in a way, but it prepares our hearts and it lets us know that we want to be in love with God and follow him until the day he takes us home. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray for all those that have been deceived by the enemy. That's just increasingly obvious, God, that there is a very strong delusion that has truly gripped, especially this younger generation, and their hatred and contempt for you, for your people, and will ultimately lead in the demise of this once great country, and it will cause all these curses to come upon us, Lord. And we just thank you that instead of a curse, you sent Jesus for us, that we could come out of a cursed relationship of departing from you, and we could instead draw close to you, to draw close to you and ask for your forgiveness for our foolishness against you, the Creator. And you lavished upon us your forgiveness, and you cleansed us with Jesus' blood, and made us righteous in your eyes so that we could truly be welcomed into heaven as pure and clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God.
My God, my Savior has
Precious promise. This place is going down, but Jesus has a place for us that will forever, ever, ever be with him. And that is something we need to meditate on today. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again. And God bless you all.